On page 828, the last line of the page, Bechamishi. Okay, what happened was the Eden started complaining against Moshe Rabbeinu after the story of Korach. They started complaining, you're killing us all. The Magefa, the plague started. Moshe says to Aaron quickly, they could get the Ketores. With the whole story of the Malach HaMavis, the Ketores stopped the plague. Aaron won over the Malach HaMavis. And he said, okay, it stopped. So, the last words of before is Magefa Natana, the Magefa, the plague stopped. But as we know, the Jews were still uneasy. You know, Korach died, these guys died. I mean, it's 14,700 people died in this plague. So, Daber Hashem al Moshe, Lim Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to the Yidden as follows. V'kach mi'itom mata lebeis ovis. Each tribe should take a stick to the father's house. The Nossi, the head of the tribe, should take 12 tribes. Each person should write their name on their stick.
Like a flag, huh?
No, it's not a flag. It was mamash a stick, a mate. In fact, the one medrash says that Hashem actually took one big branch and cut it into 12 pieces. So, okay, each one had each tribe. By the way, this is including Levi. Levi is one of the 12, which means that Yosef was only counted for one tribe. Like we learned many times, there are only 12 Shvatim. If Yosef is counted as one, then Levi is counted. When Yosef is counted as two, Levi is not counted. So depending on what, sometimes Levi is counted, one of the 12, sometimes Levi is not. But as a rule, there's only 12 Shvatim. Levi is counted, then Yosef is counted as one. Yosef is two, then Levi is not counted. Here Levi was counted. Each man should write the name. Now, some Mefarshim learn, what does it mean? Ish eshmei tichtev amateo. Some people say the name of each tribe was written, like Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Some people say ish eshmei tichtev amateo. The Nazi wrote his name, not the name of the tribe, the name of the particular Nazi. And the similarity to it is because they shame Aaron tichtev amateo Levi. On Levi's tribe, they wrote the name Aaron. Because there's one, no, 8:30 now. I'm not the time, the page. 8:30. Okay, because each person should write the name and this piece of wood. Now, this wood, by the way, is actually a dried stick. We learned, we discussed different times, there's mate and shevet. Remember, even the Yidden are called 12 shvatim or mate echad. What's the difference in Lashon Kodesh between mate and shevet? Shevet is a soft branch that's still moist. Mate means a hard branch that's dry. Here Hashem is telling him not to take a soft branch, to take a hard branch. Now, as a rule, hard, dry things don't grow anything on it. There's no moisture for things to grow. So Hashem said to him, take, you know, do it, and write Aaron Amata Levis. V'inachtam ba'oil merid, put him in the oil merid, lefnei ha'edus, in front of the Aaron, which is called the Edus. Where I always let myself, where Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from. And then he says like this, the true person that I am choosing to be a Kohen, Mateo Yifrach, his stick will blossom. Now, therefore, was the thing like this. The Mefarshim explained, why did Hashem tell him to take one stick and divide it into 12? Because if each person brought his own stick, somebody would say, oh, Aaron stick cheated. Yeah, he brought a different type of a stick. Hashem said, you know what? We're taking one stick, big fat stick. We're going to cut it into 12. Then nobody could say this, that. It's all equal, the same exact thing. And Hashem says, the one whose stick will blossom, that was the one I chose. Vashikesimi olai. And I will cause to subside. As Tulunas B'nai Yisrael, the complaints of the Yidden, Asherheim Alina Malechem, that they're complaining against you and Moshe and Aaron. So Hashem is telling Moshe to tell the Jews, okay, for once and for all, we're going to see now who was Hashem picking to be the leader of the Jewish people. Everybody's going to take a stick, no mistakes, put your name on the stick, either the name of the tribe, the name of the Nasi, doesn't matter. The stick that's going to be blossoming, that's the stick, that's the person that Hashem chose.
How come this is different with the Korah? Why did you do Korah like this?
Why didn't they do Kerech like this?
Because
Kerech, this is not a punishment. Hashem's not punishing the people here. Hashem's just showing him, this is the one. These are the Jews that are basically the good Jews. All the complainers died already. Whether in Kerech's group, whether in the Magefa, you know, the 250 men, all the troublemakers.
It's gone.
Well, there's new troublemakers coming up the next parsha. Baruch Hashem. But these troublemakers were punished. This type of death, that type of death. Here Hashem is not punishing. Hashem says, listen, now you're the people, you're the good people, let me show you. Let me show you clearly who is the one Hashem is picking. Since how are you? Not as a punishment. There's no magefa, there's no epidemic. Hashem says, you know what? Everybody take a stick. You put it in the oil maid, all together.
But they do some test. This is test to show that they are complaining.
No, Hashem says, by doing this, the Jews won't complain anymore.
So,
this is going to make the Jews not... Let's see the Pesukim. Vayidaber Meshel b'nei Yisrael, Meshel b'nei spoke to the Yidin. Vayidnu elav kol nesiyeyam, they gave all the nesiyam, matel l'nosiyach leveis aveisam, to the father's house, because, as we know, the tribes went by the father, not by the mother. Shnei Mosim Mateis, 12 tribes, Umate Aaron Betech Mateis, and Aaron was in the middle, not by the side, where it could be different, together in the middle with all the other sticks. It's a very interesting thing at Der Chagav, I mean, it's a little bit off topic, but which tribe you belong to, well, for that matter, whether you're Kohen, Levi Yisrael today, practical, is up to the father. Relax. If you're Jewish or not, that's up to the mother. Correct? Which one's better? You tell me. The question is, why is it that which tribe you belong to goes by the father? And if you're Jewish or not, that goes by the mother. So it's very interesting. It's explained because the father in childbearing, right? He gives the seed that reveals the power of birth that the mother has. The woman has the ability to give birth, not a man. So the woman is the one giving birth. The man, in a deeper sense, reveals that power that the woman has to be able to give birth. That's the purpose of the man. So in the child, so to speak, which is created by the mother, but revealed by the father, so therefore when you look at the child, the essence of the child, the essence of the child, whether you're Jew or not, that's the mother, that's the essence of the child. The revelation is like which tribe you belong to. That's the revelation of the Jew. The essence of the person is a Jew. Now you can have a Kohen Jew, a Levi Jew, a Reuven Jew, a Shimon Jew, Levi Jew. That's only the revelation of the child, not the essence of the child.
What
tribe you belong to is only what type of Jew you are.
What kind?
Listen, you have in English also an expression. You could be, like they ask you, are you an American Jew or are you Jewish American? Or Persian Jew or Persian Jewish Persian? There's a big difference between the two. American Jew means you are a Jew. The American, whether you're American, French, Persian, Israeli, Chinese, Greek, whatever, that is the description, the adjective, the detail, what type of Jew you are. But what are you? You're a Jew. American Jew means your essence is a Jew. What type of Jew you are, that's American, French, Israeli, Italian, Greek, or whatever it is. When you say Jewish American, it means you're basically saying, you are American. How do you describe what type of American? Then you call Jewish American. So there's a real big difference if somebody says, I'm a Jewish American or an American Jew. American Jew means my essence is a Jew. That's what I really am, my essence. The description, what type of Jew, that's a different story. But it's like it says over here, Lebeis Aveisam. What type? A Jew is a Jew that's from the mother. Because the essence of the baby comes from the mother. She gives birth to the baby. The father just reveals that power that the mother has. So therefore, which tribe you belong to, which revelation you belong to, that goes by the father, not by the mother. So to answer your, I know you were upset at the beginning, but the essence is the mother that's much more important than the description of what type of Jew you are. That's the difference.
Is that why minhagim go by the father too?
A lot of minhagim go by the father, right? They're all interconnected. Because minhagim doesn't make you or break you as a Jew. Again, the essence, that comes in the mother because she gives birth. Right, the father, the minhagim, that's the, or for that matter, what shevet you belong to, Kohen Levi, but that's only details in the fact of being Jewish. So that's what I mean. The Torah is just emphasizing. It's the beis aveisam. Shem al simati simati adam etech matesim. So the bottom line is, all 12 tribes put their name on it. They put their in the middle of the page of 830, and they put their names on the and they put the sticks into the oil maid. Vayanach Moshe samatis lefnei Hashem ba'el meid. Moshe Rabbeinu took the sticks and put it in the oil maid. And they left them overnight. Vayim imachar afsu was the next day. Vayavim Moshe le'el meid. Moshe came to the oil maid. Vinei parach mati Aaron leveis Levi. The stick of Aaron from the house of Levi blossomed. Vayeti perach. It brought out a blossom. Vayosit sid. And it sprouted a bud. You know, you have the blossoms and then the bud. Vayigmo shkedim. And then it made almonds. Why almonds, we're soon going to see. So it's a very interesting thing over here, what happened.
This is the first blossom.
First blossoming inside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, there's different opinions exactly of what happened over here. Like, the Rashbam learns, Rashi says that it blossomed, then the leaves fell off, okay? And then when it became noticeable, it became shkedim, almonds. Okay, that's what Rashi learns.
In one night?
Overnight. Okay? Overnight, the sticks, not only that, sticks, dried sticks they were. They weren't put into fertilizer overnight. But we're soon going to see, we're not done. Now, it says, the Daskin Malatesis says, there were two types of perach. One side were blossoms, and those blossoms didn't fall off. Normally, when you have a fruit blossoms, when the fruit comes out, the blossoms fall off. Right? Here, Rashbam said one side the blossoms fell off, and the other side, they fell off like all the other things. Okay? So according to the way Tesis learns it, one side was the leaves, the blossoms still, the other side fell off, and the shkedim came up, the almonds came out. Okay? Other Mefarshim learn that there are actually, he brings down, there are two types of almonds that came out. One side was bitter almonds, and one side was sweet. The sweet one was on the right side, the bitter on the left, which means when you're behaving, then you get the sweet almonds. When you're not behaving, you get the bitter almonds. So that's why.
Doesn't the almond from A to Z take
15
days to
21 days. We'll see about this. 21 days. Now, it says over here, the Mefarshim explain. Here. So the Kliyakir says like this. The young Kayanim in the Gemara, the question over here, why did it happen three things over here? It says in the Pasuk, Vayetzi perech, vayotzi tzitz, vayigmos kedem. Three things happen over here. It blossomed, it budded, and then the shkedem, the almonds came out. So he says, why? He says like this. The younger Kayanim in the Gemara called Pirchei Kohuna. Pirchei are the young guys. Okay, the young Kayanim. Vayetzi perech, that refers to the small Kayanim that are called the perech. Vayetzi tzitz, that's the Kayanim Gdelim, because the Kayan got the word tzitz, the plate with the gold Kedush Lashem on top, that's Vayetzi tzitz. Vayigmo skedim, because the Gemara has an expression, and like we find here by Aaron, Kayanim Zerizim Heim. Kayanim do very things very quickly, very zealous, with a lot of enthusiasm. They do things quickly. There's a lot of dinim in the Gemara that says a lot of rabbinic decrees don't apply in the Beis HaMikdash, because most rabbinic decrees are because you might come to do a sin. But Kayanim Zerizim Heim, the Gemara says many places. Kayanim are very zealous, you know.
They get high person. Because
they get high, high things. Okay, so therefore this represents the three levels of Kayanim. The younger Kayanim, the Kayanim Gdelim, and the fact that Kayanim go very quickly. Now, it says like this. Rashi says, why does it say, why did they become Shkedim? Why not apples, pears, whatever. So Rashi says, V'lom Shkedim, wipes almonds. So Rashi says, because they're the quickest fruit to blossom. Normally, the Gemara says it takes 21 days for almonds to blossom, the quickest of all the fruits. And here it happened overnight. So he says, why does it... So Rashi says, this is what Rashi says. Rashi says, why did Hashem pick Shkedim? To teach us that whoever disagrees with Kohuna, whoever questions the greatness of the Kohanim, the punishment is going to come very quickly. This is what Rashi says. But there's also, it brought down in other places, that the Inyan of Shkedim, by the way, Shkida means diligence. In Hebrew, the word Shkida, you know, in the report card, they mark Shkida, the diligence of the person. Shaked also in the Hebrew means to hurry up. It says in Svarim, why are almonds called Shkedim? Why are they called Shkedim? Because they ripened quick, and that's what the word shokhed means, very quickly. They bring up psukim, that shokhed also means quick. So therefore, almonds are called shkedim because they ripen very quickly. But this is the concept of kohuna. We say in Tillim, we say in davening every day, ad mehera yorutz dvori. The word comes down very quickly. Meaning the bracha of the Kayanim, the greatness of the Kayanim, is that they come very, very quickly. Okay? So the same thing, he says like this, the Me'amleis brings down, that the concept of, if you behave, then they're sweet. If you don't behave, then you get bitter. Okay? So he says like this. Ma'am, let me ask you a question. This is from Rabbeinu Bechaya, another Mefarshim. Let me ask a question like this. Hashem over here wants to prove to the Jewish people, Hashem wants to prove to the Jewish people that the Kohanim are the right guys. Yeah? So the question is, the miracle of Kerech wasn't good enough. The miracle of the 250 guys burnt is not good enough. The plague of 14,700 people is not good enough. Right? All of a sudden, this is going to influence the Jews more than those miracles. Why? Why should this influence the Jews more than the other miracles? So he says like this. There are four things over here. Four things happened. Like we just said. The ground opened up, killed Kerach. There was a fire that burned the 250 people. Then there was an epidemic that killed the 14,700. And then there was this miracle. This represents the four people that were arguing against Moshe Rabbeinu. There are four groups arguing against Moshe and Aaron. There was Kerach, Dothan and Aviram, the Levium, and the Becheret, the firstborns. All these people were upset. Right? The Levium were upset, how come Aaron's a Kerach and we're not? Dothan and Aviram complained, whatever. So he says like this. The Becheret said, what was the Becheret's complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu? Before the eagle, before the golden calf, they did the Aveda. After they sinned, so then because they sinned, so Levi, who didn't sin, they took over. Okay? So, they said, this is Moshe Rabbeinu did this by himself. Okay? That's the Levium complained, why are we not Kohenim like Aaron? Why are we like second class citizens? Dasan Aviram, what did they want? What was their problem? They said, why did you take the firstborn from Reuven and give it to Yosef? Yosef had two tribes. Why aren't we? We're the firstborn. Right? So each one of these people had complaints. And then Kerach, of course, Kerach complained against the leadership of Moshe. Okay? So corresponding with these four things, Hashem answered them. Each one got their own punishment. Kerach got the 250 people. They all got. This was for the firstborns.
The last one?
The last one. The fruit, the Shkedim, that was for the firstborns. Because the point is, you see that Hashem chose Levi with those people
right.
And not other people. So this is the four things that answered, and therefore, each one had a certain unique accomplishment in getting rid of the complaints of the Jews against Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jews against Hashem. But they also say, they bring down here, the lesson of a Jew is as follows. What's the lesson from all this for us? You can have a piece of wood. Okay, you get a dried piece of wood. When a Jew does what Hashem wants him to do, even that blossoms. And not only does it blossom, which is against its nature. A dry piece of wood is not going to blossom. It blossoms, not only does it blossom, but it creates the quickest finished fruit more than everything else. What?
It's unbelievable.
That's
the speed.
The speed happened overnight.
Yeah.
But that itself was a miracle. Yeah. In fact, they bring down this 21 days is connected to Koyin, is connected to the name Ayasher Aya. In fact, when it says Ach Teva Chesed Yedefuni, call you Mechai, when you say Mizmor David, all goodness and kindness should chase me all the days of my life, Ach is 21. It's all connected to the Shkedim, and they bring down in Sfarim Birchas Koyanim, is also connected to 21, I don't know, I remember how, but there's a lot of things connected with the level of a Koyan, that the Bracha comes down very quick. And that's the blossoming. So Hashem is showing the Jews, basically, when you do what Hashem wants, even a piece of wood that you think is a nothing, can also blossom into beautiful fruit.
It's very hard to understand.
Why is it hard to understand?
When you understand, you'll enjoy it. like he's drinking wine.
So but Mashke, 1 second. Mashke accomplishes it quicker.
Yeah.
What?
So the sweet and the bitter
is also up to us. If you do it right, it's sweet. If you do it the other way, it's bitter.
I mean, if he's somebody who's done what Hashem wanted to do, up to the point that even it blossomed and even gave the fruits and the almond came, but he must have done it, not just doing it, by doing it the right way. The right way.
Yes.
Does that mean like with pleasure and happiness and willingness, or doing
with zealousness?
Yeah.
No, with zealousness.
Agile.
Doing more than what's the, you know, you have even in life, yeah. You have, let's say, a boss and a worker, or parents and kids, or a spouse. I mean, any way you want to look at it. You have a worker; he'll do what he has to do, but not more.
Yeah. We have that.
No, you know what I mean? Okay, you give, you can see it by kids also, you know?
Yeah.
You give them a job to do, the bare minimum, whatever they can get away with,
they do it.
That's it. And then you can't have any complaints to them. I'm doing my job, you told me to do it,
I did it.
That worker, you're not in the mood of giving a bonus to. Okay? But then you have a worker. Then you have a worker that you see he's really part of it, he's into it, this is his life, and the more he could do, it's better, and he wants to make the company better. There's such a worker too. Those workers, you feel like you want to give them a bonus. Okay? In Yiddishkeit, you have the same thing. There are Jews that want to get away with the bare minimum. Okay? Give me a heter. Tell me I'm allowed to do it? No problem. You know, I want to be a religious Jew, you know, Orthodox Jew, whatever you want to call it. But I want to do the job, but, you know, don't push it. Let me do it. I'll do the job. I'll put on tefillin. I'll daven. I'll keep kosher. You know, I'll do the bare minimum. And officially, I'm a religious Jew. That's when you get the bitter almonds. You get the almonds, but you're going to get bitter ones. When a person does the right side, meaning the right way, so to speak, so then it happens very quickly, and you get sweet ones. The bitter ones, because they're not ripened yet. Before they're ripened, fruits are bitter. Then when they ripen, they become sweet. And that's the way the nature of fruits are. So the same thing over here. Even the sweetness ripened right away. You know, to show that when the person does it, then it happens right away. And the fundamental difference of this is very simple. How do you know if you're this type of Jew or this type of Jew? I mean, for ourselves, for others, whatever, it doesn't matter. So the answer is very simple. Does a person want to grow? Or don't they want to grow? We said many times there's a medrash in Kehelis that says, Mi sheyashli mana reitza masayim. Mi sheyashli masayim reitza arba meirs. Meaning, the Medrash says if a person has 100, he wants 200. He has 200, he wants 400.
For money it works.
Yeah. Okay. So the Rebbe mentioned many, many times, he said, like, I don't know that. What's the Medrash telling me? Everybody knows you have money, you want more money, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I need a medrash to tell me if you have 100, you want 200. So the Rebbe says the medrash is really teaching us something totally the opposite. The medrash says, if you have 100, you want 200. That means, if you take it deeper, if you're somebody who doesn't want 200, the medrash says you don't even have 100. What does the Medrash say? The Medrash says, if you have 100, then you want 200. Yeah. That means, if you're somebody that doesn't want 200, that means you don't have 100. That's what the Medrash is saying. The Medrash is not telling me you have 100,000, you want 200. Of course you have 100, you want 200. The Medrash is taking it deeper. The Medrash is saying, if you have 100, you want 200, that means if you're somebody that doesn't want 200, you don't even have 100. What does this mean? What does this mean in Yiddishkeit? It's a pretty sharp expression, okay? But we'll leave it as it is. If you don't want to grow in Yiddishkeit, according to the Medrash, you have no Yiddishkeit. The Medrash says, if you have one, you want two. And if you don't want two, that means you don't have one. So if you don't want to grow in Yiddishkeit, let's say, the Medrash is really telling you that it's hard to say the exact, you have no Yiddishkeit, but your Yiddishkeit is not something that's there, because if it's really there, not to get, you know, to get rid of it, you know, get the job done and I'm over. Then you really don't, then you, if you don't want 200, you don't have 100. What?
What about you? I'm not talking about money, not about the interest. What about if you're content with that $100?
That's the way ideally it's supposed to be. By nature, it's not like that.
And if you want to go from 100 goes to 200, so you really work.
What's called Azel Asher, who is rich, the Mishnah says, if you're happy, content with what you have. Not in spirituality, though.
No.
Mishnah speaking about physical. But that's not an easy thing. That's why it's called Pirkei Avos. It's not a very easy thing for a person who has $1 to say, okay, I don't need two. It's very difficult in Gashmias to be content with what we have.
Because everybody's greedy. It's greedy.
Because we always look up, they have, why can't I? They have, I want two. In spiritualism, nobody does that. Nobody says, they pray more than me, I should pray more. They say, they pray less than me, why should I pray more?
God should create
they do less mitzvahs, why should I do more?
Why they don't God create a human being? Like this kind of greed about spiritual.
Because our job, why did God make babies selfish? Look at babies.
Babies
have to be taught to share, right? Whoever has babies, no. Baby, even big babies, by the way, not little babies, big babies. They're very selfish. They're what, you know, me. People, little babies, physical babies, have to be taught. You need to share your toys, you need to share, you know, you need to do things. That's not natural.
Natural is
Adam Ayir Peri Yevalid. The pasuk says a person is born a wild beast. Okay? Person has to be. Why did Hashem make a person with those natures? Because Hashem wants us to change our natures. If we're born angels, right, then when we're good, it's not worth anything. Right? If we're born good, so when you do good, it's not worth anything. Hashem says, I want you to be born bad, so to speak, and change your nature and become good.
So it means it's good. Greed is good.
Greedy, it depends on what? In spiritual.
Anything is good.
No. Greedy for
created to be good. So something is good to create.
If the greediness is good, meaning, Kina Sofrim Tarba Chochman, the Gemara says, when you're jealous of a scholar, you're jealous of people who do more. You know what we say in Aleinu? V'yadayta hayayim, yishinot today, v'ashevei selavecha, put your heart. Kasher mo lekim, the God is God. Bashamayim imal, in the heavens above, v'ala aretz mitachas, in the earth below. So the world, this expression developed, the world says, Bashamayim, Shemayim means heavenly things, right? The heaven. Bashamayim, when it comes to heavenly things, mimal, look up. What do you mean look up? That person does more, I should also do more. That person gives more tzedakah, learns, davens, you know, more mitzvahs, you look up. The aretz, in earthly things, mitachas, look at the person below you. If they don't have it, why do I need it? It's usually the opposite way. In the physical things, if they have it, I also want it. And in spiritual things, they say, if he doesn't do it, why do I have to do it? So this is what the Torah is teaching us. It says in Chassidus about this whole thing with the stick, the femamata, which is a dried substance, you can even create shkedim, but it has to be done with shkedim, it has to be done with diligence and excitement, so then it flourishes and blossoms much quicker than regular. Okay, Pasuk of Dalid. No, it's interesting when you learn with the Mefarshim and you know all these the various interpretations. You take this simple story like this. No, you bring it, you make it alive as far as you know, like a living Torah, to make it alive into a practical life. It's not just a story that happened. They stuck in a bunch of sticks, and the stick blossomed.
If you know that you. Like this one, understand?
Then it works much better.
Much better.
Okay. Pasuk of Dalet. By the way, it's interesting. The Balaturim says that the word Shkedim, which is again the Koyanim, is a numerical value of Chashmenoim, the guy's Hanukkah time. The Maccabees, the Chashmenoim. He says, Shkedim begmatir Chashmenoim. That they're going to have the Kohuna. Okay. Then it says like this. Vayetze Meshes kol amatis nefnei Hashem. Meshe Rabbeinu took out all the sticks. Because they're all in Diomed, right? Took out the sticks. Vayiru vayikhu ish mateo. Each person saw and each person took a stick. So the Balaturim also says, why does it say in this pasuk matis without a vav? All the other psukim before, the word matis was with a vav. Why over here does it say matis without a vav? Because he took them out as dry as they were before. That means they remained dry, even though Aaron's stick blossomed, but all the sticks that were around him, they stayed dry as they were before. By the way, you have a similar thing in the Haftarah of Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Speaks about, huh?
The dried bones.
The dried bones. Mm-hmm. But, by the way, this year there's no Shabbos Chol HaMoed because Pesach is Shabbos and Sunday. Yeah. So there's no Chol HaMoed Shabbos this year. Anyway, but in that Haftarah of Thomas the Yavesh, the dried bones, it's the same concept. What did the Navi say? Hatechiana Atzomas O'ela. Can you make these dried bones come alive? That's exactly the same concept of this Mata Aaron, taking these dried sticks and making it alive into. So the same thing with that. Some of the Yavashis, there's dried bones, and a Jew needs to understand they have to become alive. So each person took the sticks. Okay. Vayem Hashem al Mesha, Hashem said to Mesha. Hashem is Mata. By the way, the Mefarshim explained, Mefarshim said this before, Aaron's stick over here is not the Mate Ho'elikim that Aaron used. You know, the stick that they used throwing the snake, and then this is not the Mate Ho'elikim. The Ramban says, it is not the Mate Ho'elikim. It's the regular stick. So now Hashem said to Mesha, take this Mate Ho'aron and put it Lefnei Ho'edus, before the tent, the mishmeres la'es levnei meri, for all those people that are going to rebel against me. In other words, this stick remained, blossomed, it was in the Kedesh HaKadoshim, next to the Ark. And this is one of the five things that did not exist in the Second Temple. Five things were missing from the Second Temple from the first. One of them was this Mati Aaron. Uschaltun losim yolei, they will stop complaining.
Mishkan, not Mishkan.
It's Neo Eidus.
The first one doesn't have this one.
The first one had.
The first one had.
Yeah. Well, uschaltun losim yolei, they should stop it. Velo yamusu. Okay. This was with the later on. There's a pasuk. Hashem told them to take a jar of mun and put it there also. There are certain things that were put away in there. And V'yas Meshe Kasher Tziva Hashem Eisei Kein Osa, he did exactly what Hashem told him to do. By the way, there was also, in the Kedesh HaKadoshim, there was also the Shemen HaMishcha, the oil that Meshe Rabbeinu anointed to anoint the Kohenim Gedolim, that was also in the Kedesh HaKadoshim, next to the Ark, together with the jug of mun, and the stick, and the Shemen HaMishcha.
This stick has almond all over the year, or just for some period, and then...
No, this stick stayed blossomed forever.
Over.
Why would they, if the stick is to remind the people who would rebel against the Kohanim, why would it be in the holy place?
It's a good question, because whenever the Jews would complain, they would be able to take it out. We find that the days of Yirmiyah, later on, when the Jews complained, so it says over there in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah that Hashem told Yirmiyah and Navi, take out the man to the Jews. The Jews were complaining about, you know, we're not going to make a living. So he said to Yirmiyah and Navi, take the jug of man and show the Jewish people. And show them, you see, when they did what Hashem wanted, Hashem supported them. Do what Hashem wants, Hashem will support you too. So when they needed, that was, they were able to take out for whatever purpose, to show the Jewish people. Okay. So now it says like this. Yerimu b'nei Yisrael. You think this helped? They still complained. But Yerimu b'nei Yisrael, Amesha Eden said to Amesha Rabbeinu saying, Heng avadnu, avadnu, kulonu, avadnu. Behold, we'll perish. We are lost. We are all lost. Why? Kol akariv, akariv, amishkan, Hashem yomus. Whoever comes too close to the Mishkan, they will die. Tamnu legvaya, are we ever going to stop dying? Meaning, now it worked a complaint in a positive way. They saw the holiness of Hashem. So he said, we see now, if we get too close to Hashem, we're going to die. So now, like, how are we going to be protected from not doing the wrong thing, not getting too close to Hashem? How are we going to be protected from them? So now becomes actually a new mitzvah is coming, which is called watching the Mishkan and watching the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim and Leviim actually watched the Beis HaMikdash at night, and the Leviim had to make sure that nobody gets too close. Okay? And it's an interesting thing. Sometimes, and this is mamish the reverse of what happened before, getting too close is also no good. You got to know your limits. You know? From one side, the pasuk is telling us, get close to Hashem. But on the other side, but know your boundaries, know your limitations. Don't get too close.
You get burned.
You can get burned. A Jew cannot be an extremist. A Jew needs to know. Okay, so it says pasuk like this: "V'yemer Hashem al Adin." Hashem said to Adin, "Ato v'nacha itoch, you and your sons and your father's house with you. Tisu es havein hamikdash. You're going to be the bear the sins of the Mishkan." Meaning, you have the safeguarding to make sure that no person goes where they shouldn't be going. There is a concept in Torah of, I'll explain a little bit, we'll talk a little bit about this for a few minutes. There's a concept called Rotza V'Shev. It says in the Nevuah of the throne of Hashem, so the Navi Yecheskel sees, he said in the Haftarah, the first day of Shavuos, Hachayis Rotza V'Shev. The Malachim, the Chayis HaKadosh, are longing and returning. From one side, the neshama should want to leave the body and get out of the body. In other words, the neshama is in exile, in prison, by the body. It's limited, it's restricted, it doesn't have the kedush it had. So from one side, the neshama wants to leave the body. From the other side, though, the neshama needs to realize that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want us to die. Hashem wants us to be here. We learned earlier in Chumash, the sin of Nadav and Avihu's two children. The Torah says they brought the foreign fire before God and they died. So in Kabbalah, in Darach Chaim HaKadosh, he explains this at great length, even as a commentary on Chumash. But he quotes from Kabbalah, it says that the sin of Nadav and Avihu was, the Mishkan was finished, it was the eighth day, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the glory of God came down, to you know, greatest revelation. Their souls had such a longing to God, because of the Kedusha they saw, their souls, after popped out of the body. He actually died, and Hashem said, that's a sin. That's their sin. In fact, the Chaim explains that in the Pasuk, Bekarvasam lifnei Hashem, they reached such a high level of Kedusha, by Yomusu, that's why the Neshama left the body. In other words, like this, to give a proper explanation, because it is fundamental stuff. Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei likens the Neshama to a candle. Okay? Ner Hashem Nishma Sadam. It's a famous pasuk Shlomo HaMelech says. Therefore, anytime you deal with death, with neshamas, you put candles. Shiva, yard site, leading the davening, whatever it is, you have candles. Ner Hashem Nishma Sadam, the neshama of a person is the candle of God. Why is a neshama likened to a candle? Like, what's the connection? Okay, simply it's because, you know, fire is very spiritual. So the neshama is likened to something spiritual. You're not going to liken it to dirt, you know. But there's a real, a deeper explanation of why a neshama is likened to fire, to candle. Because when you have a candle, the flame always goes up. Okay? Scientifically, the reason why a fire goes up is because gas is lighter than air, and therefore it goes up. Okay, that's the scientific explanation. The Rambam says, and Taira says, that there's another reason. Not that that's not true, that's a scientific fact. Nobody's saying it's not true. But why is it like that? The answer is, the nature of everything is to go back to its source. Right? You throw a ball off, by nature it comes down. Okay? Water flows, you want to stop it, you take away the wall, it goes back. The source of fire, physical fire, the Rambam writes, is tachas galgal hayareach. Whatever that means, it's under the rotation of the moon. So therefore, fire goes up because the flame wants to leave the candle. It wants to, like, get out. And if there's nothing forcing it, it's going to leave. The second the fuel is over, the first opportunity it has, it goes up. Even though, Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, even though it doesn't make sense. Because down here, the flame is something. It's an existence, it's a metzius. When it leaves, it's nothing. Right? So it doesn't make sense. Nevertheless, he's using the expression, this is its nature. Nature is not according to Seichel. What my nature is, you can't explain why my nature is to do this. That's the way I am. You can't explain. There's no logic to the person's nature. The flame wants to leave because its nature is to go back to its source. It's illogical, but it does it anyway. This is what it wants. The same thing, the body is the candle and the wick, and the neshama is the flame. Neshama is flickering because the neshama doesn't want to stay in the body. In fact, you know, it says in Svarim that, you know, people, when they daven or learn, subconscious, they don't even think that they start chuckling, you know. They don't even think, they don't realize that they start shaking. So it says in Svarim, why? Because when you're davening and you're concentrating in Hashem, the neshama wants to get out. The neshama wants to leave. The neshama wants to go out. So it's shaking like a candle. It's shaking. The neshama wants to leave the body.
Same time you do the exercise.
Yeah, that's also, you also want to leave the body. One second. So, the neshama is likened to a flame because the neshama wants to leave the body. But, at the same time, the neshama has to understand that that's not what Hashem wants. The sin of Nadav and Avihu was they got too close and the neshama didn't realize that that's not what Hashem wants. We find a similar story. The Gemara in Chagiga tells a very interesting story. It's a very famous story. Arba nichnasu lepardes. Four tzaddikim went into the up. I don't know how they did it, but they went up. Rabbi Kiva, Ben Zayma, Ben Azai, and Elisha ben Avuya, who is known as Acher. No. Elisha ben Avuya was the Rebbe of Rav Meir. He became an apikurus later. So the Gemara says like this. Gemara in Chagiga says, Acher became an Apikaitis, Ben Azi and Ben Zayma, one went Meshuggah, one died. Okay? And then by Rabbi Kiva, according to the Girsa of Ein Yaakov, it says, Nichnes B'Sholem V'Yotze B'Sholem. He went in peacefully and he came out peacefully. Right? So the question is, this one died, this one went nuts, this one became a non-believer. So it should say, Rabbi Kiva, Yotze B'Sholem. Why does it say by Rabbi Kiva, Nichnes B'Sholem V'Yotze B'Sholem? Who cares that he went B'Sholem? The main thing is he came out okay. Right? So it's explained in Chassidus and Kabbalah, the sin of these three tzaddikim, they went into such a high level of Kedusha, the Neshama left the body, he couldn't take it, he went crazy. In other words, it was something completely above what they were able to handle. It's similar to the Nodav and Avil story, it says in Kabbalah. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, going into this great level of Kedusha, it says the reason why he came out okay, because he went in understanding that you can't stay there. You need the longing, you need the desire to be there.
You're not there.
But you not need to realize that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants a neshama in a body, not the neshama out of the body. That's not what Hashem wants. Those people like Nadav and Avihu, they're holy, holy tzaddikim. But their issue was, they had this longing to Kedusha, and they didn't have the understanding that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to be down here. So from one side, the Torah is telling us we need to have this longing. There has to be this longing and desire to become close. Yet at the same time, Hashem says, you have to guard the people, so to speak. You have to guard the people, that they should know their boundaries and their limitations, and they have to know how to do it, and they have to know where they're at. And you can't just let free-for-all going. You know, it's like that. Sometimes you have people starting to become close to Yiddishkeit. They start running a marathon. Zoomed. A spaceship. Zooming. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. They need to go, you know your levels, go step by step by step. Then it becomes good. If you zoom up, you zoom out, you zoom in, you zoom in, you zoom out. That's what it says. You need to know the boundaries. There has to be, even in Kedusha, what the Pasuk is going to start telling us, we'll probably actually learn next week, but the Pasuk is telling us that even when it comes to levels of Kedusha, there are boundaries. There's a boundary where Yisrael can go, there's in the Mishkan. There's a boundary where a Levi can go, there's a boundary where a Kohen could go. These boundaries must be kept. And you can't say, well, I'm a Yisrael, why can't it be like a Kohen? I also want to go into the... or a Kohen could say, I also want to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim like Aaron a Kohen. The Torah says, that's no good. Each person on the level where they're at, what they're doing, they need to be able to know where to go and grow gradually. So therefore Hashem is... The Eden is saying, now if we get too close to Hashem, we're going to die. So Hashem said to Aaron, you know what? You guys have a job now. You have to make sure people don't get too close, that they're going to, God forbid, die. Like Nadav and Avi or like these other people. You have to know what you're able to do.
So every person is different limitation.
Right.
It's not the same for everybody. To get the close or not to
Hashem
get
Hashem Mekayanim and Levim in Yisrael. Yisrael have their boundaries and their mitzvahs. You know, if a Yisrael does his job perfectly, he's 100%.
But you told us before, if you go over limit is better sometimes.
Sometimes.
So.
Not to over the limit, to change your nature a little bit more.
Yeah, to told us better.
But not to...
Is he not going close to Hashem?
Not to jump in... Yeah, but a gradual, a little bit above. Not to go from 10 minutes to 20 hours. From 10 minutes to go to 12 minutes, to 14, to go gradually, then going too close, too quick is no good. Just think about it. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was the Holy of Holies, yeah? Why did God care if the Jews would go in three times a day? What does He care? Even the Kohen Gadol, only Yom Kippur, and only when he was allowed to go in, if he went in only for the times, you know, for the Avodah, if he went in a different time, he would get killed. And Yom Kippur, he was going in anyway. He went in... in the wrong order, he would get killed. Why? Because Hashem says there's boundaries of Kedusha, there's boundaries of elimination. Kol Eidah Kulam Kedeshim. Yeah, but there's still a Meisher Rabbeinu. There's still an Aaron HaKoyen. There's still... There's levels of Kedusha. That's what Hashem telling the Jewish people. And now, now he starts saying the whole mitzvah. By the way, this is one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, that the Kohenim and Levim have to watch the Mishkan to make sure that the people don't go where they're going. Okay.